I want to tell you about something I've used and I truly believe in. Replayer. It's a sideline camera built for youth sports. Just set it up, hit record, and it captures the entire game automatically. No chasing the ball, no holding your phone, just hands-free, stress-free recording. The in-game tagging is one of my favorite features. One tap, and you can mark a big goal, ankle-breaking moves, or a clutch tackle. Then pull those clips for later for review, highlights, or social media. And the live streaming's next level. A buddy of mine actually watched his son's game while flying cross country at 30,000 feet. That blew me away. If you're a parent or coach at the field every weekend, Replayer is a game changer. Head to replayer.com. That's Replayer.com. And I think you'll be amazed. Hey, soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of Team Player's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give Team Player a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hello, welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week I interviewed Alan from Team Player. He and his team are trying to revolutionize how players connect with teams and how teams connect with players. Before I say too much, let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
I'm Alan Hamilton. I'm from Grapevine, Texas, grew up in Grapevine. Have been a member of the North Texas soccer community, both as a player and a coach and a fan in general for, hate to say it, coming up on 30 years now. I launched Team Player with a small team of colleagues late last year. And our mission really is to help make the process for players connecting with competitive teams and clubs in North Texas just better, easier, and more efficient for everybody involved.
What is your soccer background? So where did it start for you?
Yeah. So I like I said, I'm from Grapevine. I got a little bit of a late start. I don't think I started playing until I was like 6 or 7, which I know these days, you know, you're out there when you're 2 or 3 and expecting to make your first academy team by the time you're 4. But so anyway, I just got started as was kind of pretty standard back then in the local Grapevine Southlake Soccer Association Rec League. I played for a couple years, you know, in that format. You know, again, like most of the kids back in those days, I was also alternating seasons between baseball and soccer, and played basketball as well. So, you know, as that select age started approaching, that 9-10 age, I was actually kind of unsure as to whether or not I was going to pursue soccer seriously. Lucky enough, I had a handful of friends that were all gung-ho on soccer, and so ended up convincing my parents to let me make the leap into the select side. So started playing for a local Grapevine Colleyville Southlake club back in the day called Challenge Soccer Club. So really played kind of at the local club level for, man, it must have been all the way through middle school into early high school. You know, it for me as a multi-sport athlete, it was exactly what I needed. I had the good fortune of having some high-quality trainers, high-quality coaches along the way, even though, you know, we weren't like a nationally recognized team or anything like that. But that allowed me kind of the flexibility to continue playing the sports that I also loved, as well as, you know, getting a decent level of soccer development. And, you know, as I kind of started realizing that, hey, I was, you know, halfway decent at this and started seeing some success on the field, I ended up getting picked up by a much higher level team, or the Texas Longhorns at the time. They had qualified for a Division I slot in Classic League, which, again, at the time was pretty high level. Played with those guys for a couple years and ended up transitioning at the end of high school into a couple different, you know, relatively high-level clubs as well. So as my youth career kind of came to an end, I'd always set my sights on playing at the next level. So, you know, as things worked out, I ended up playing for Coach David Hoffman for a year at the University of Dallas. And I'll sound like every washed-up soccer player, but, you know, I really, really struggled with some injuries throughout late high school into college. And, you know, I probably, you know, admittedly wasn't putting in the level of training that was probably warranted as well. But after my freshman year at UD, kind of decided that I was going to take a different life path and not pursue soccer as a means of providing for myself, but it's something that I do because I love it. So I ended up transferring to Texas A&M, where I was still fortunate enough to play for what I would say is a very high level club team down at A&M for 5 years, and obtain an industrial engineering degree, which has opened a bunch of pathways for me, outside of the soccer world. So very, very thankful for how things worked out. But, you know, I think it just goes to show there's a lot of different benefits and different pathways you can take as a soccer player growing up in North Texas.
That's amazing. How did you get into coaching then?
Yeah. So, you know, I've always enjoyed it. I've got a little brother. You know, my parents were coaches of us and of him. And so, you know, even like in, you know, middle school, high school, I was always hanging out, trying to assist and help out with the younger guys. And so as I got into college and really when I transferred to A&M, I got really involved in the local club scene. I was a trainer there, even as a you know, current player and student. I started working camps in a number of different areas here locally in North Texas, as well as in College Station at A&M. And so, you know, really just kind of fell in love with the development process and helping, you know, helping players kind of achieve their goals. So as I moved back after graduation, I was, you know, working a full-time corporate gig. And I just kind of encountered one of my colleagues who had I think he was 8 at the time, who had a rec team. They needed a coach, somebody who hopefully knew something about soccer. So started coaching in the Grapevine Southlake Soccer Association rec league. Had another buddy reach out who was looking for somebody to help cover a club team. And from there, you know, that's been, 8-9 years ago. So here we are now. I've been most recently coaching with a smaller club, Lincoln FC DFW, who, late breaking news, it's been announced, you know, as of the last few days, is actually transitioning into the Solar umbrella. So really exciting times and for me.
That's awesome. Yeah. Welcome to the Solar family.
Yeah. Yeah. Funny enough, I actually spent a year or so at Solar before moving to Lincoln. So, you know, it's kind of a return back to the mothership, right?
Right. So through this process, so how long ago did the idea, now we're transitioning into what you actually are here for is team player. How did the process come about then? Like the history of it. How did this baby come about?
So it was kind of a lightning strike moment born out of years and years of frustration. So, you know, I when I was talking about kind of my background, I talked about how I'd transitioned club teams, you know, late into my high school career. Well, the reason for that transition is I was cut from the team that I was playing on. And, you know, I remember that was pretty late in the tryout season. And I remember, you know, honestly, the stress that it put me through, but that it put my parents through, you know, having to struggle to find a place for me to play. Because it's great. We have tons and tons of soccer options available here in North Texas. It's really kind of hard to find, you know, information that is specific to, you know, the type of teams that I might be looking for. So I remember that frustration. And then, you know, I transitioned to being a coach. And I, you know, on the other side of the equation, have dealt with over the years, you know, the frustration of every year you're going to have two or three players at minimum kind of go off and explore other opportunities. Well, it's challenging as a coach or as a club owner to find players to backfill those roster spots. And so, you know, from my experience as a player, from my experience as a coach, and then having conversations with you know, parents over the years who were as equally frustrated with how difficult it is to find, you know, legitimate verified information, you know, about all of these different soccer options in the area. I was actually taking a shower after practice one day and I was like, well, why don't we just put all of that information in a single place? And so, you know, in my corporate life, you know, I've worked at a technology company for a long time. So I'm you know, fairly technical myself. I have an engineering degree. I'm familiar with those sorts of things that maybe not your everyday, you know, soccer person who's dedicated their whole life to being on the field, you know, may have. And so I kind of combined those skill sets to, you know, build what is now Team Player. And Team Player is essentially an online platform that, as I said, allows teams and players to more easily connect with each other.
That's kind of how I started. That was the whole point. I mean, I shared my story with you, with my son. It's trying, like, when you are no longer with a team, where do you turn? And there's no information out there.
Exactly. Exactly. And yeah, and if we can kind of double click on that, right? I don't think it's for a lack of trying, right? Number one, it's expensive to develop an online presence. It requires a certain skill set. And it requires, you know, resource to maintain that reliable, up-to-date information. And so, you know, we know even at the largest levels, these clubs, you know, don't necessarily have that resource or skill set to develop the kind of platform that you need to provide this information reliably and consistently. And so that's, you know, we want to take on that burden for these organizations. And the platform is available and I believe valuable to everybody, but, you know, as you know, we've seen historical gap in information isn't necessarily because of a lack of trying by the teams,
right,
or by the clubs. It's, you know, at least my hypothesis is that, you know, creating a platform that is, you know, that is really required or that's needed to kind of distribute this information is, you know, not inexpensive. It you know, costs money. It requires a certain skill set, and it requires, you know, dedication of resources to ensure that the information is continually updated and remains reliable for the audience. And so, you know, I just think there's been, I don't think that these clubs, even, you know, the larger clubs, necessarily have those three components in place, or even plan for to dedicate those three components to building something like this, even for their own purposes. And so what we want to do at Team Player is essentially take on, you know, that burden for these organizations for the greater benefit of the community.
Yeah, I agree with you. So I'm always digging through all the major clubs' websites.
Yeah.
And I'm my biggest pet peeve is you can find a list of coaches, but you can't find where they train.
Exactly.
Or you find where they train, but you don't have a list of coaches there or what age groups train there.
Right.
And as a parent, that's frustrating because I just don't want to have to call the club, then talk to one person, then possibly get shuffled to one coach. Well, my roster is full, so try this coach in the same age bracket. And
right.
It's frustrating as a parent because – or – you're playing the telephone game with some friends because they know a coach in that age bracket and they're playing the middleman for now until something more develops. So then you're out at training and finally you get a chance to talk to the coach.
Right.
And then you finally have a face to face, but you might have a week or 2 weeks go by before you're even having your player in a facility to train.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know, I will be the first one to say that, you know, the Team Player platform itself, you know, we have a long way to go as far as, you know, where we see the platform kind of reaching maturity. We know, you know, there's you know, tons of functionality we'd like to add, but, you know, again, to your point, it's frustrating as a player and you know, as a family to just not have access to kind of the basic level of information that you need. And it's one thing, you know, if we were talking about, you know, a decision, you know, for kind of a low dollar value purchase, right? But, you know, everybody knows, right? In most cases, you're looking for a service provider effectively who you're going to pay thousands of dollars a year, you know, to provide to you a service. And, you know, if you were shopping for a car or for, you know, a travel ticket of some sort, you know, you expect to have up-to-date, reliable, and complete information available to you so you can decide how to invest your dollars and what service provider is right for your unique situation. You know, I think as the more, you know, that I think about it and the more that I thought about it, you know, we as service providers within the soccer community, that we owe this to our customers, right? And I know some people get, you know, kind of wary of thinking about this on a transactional business-like basis. But for me, the sooner that we as clubs and coaches, you know, view ourselves in a professional light as professional service providers, the higher standard that we'll hold ourselves to and that we will be held to by our customers.
Right. I'm right there with you. So my son is getting ready to go play select. And I was calling back in February to get pricing so I could give the coach because I'm the team manager.
Right.
And they had even at the end of February, they didn't even have pricing. Yeah. Even thought about, they're getting ready to have meetings about it
right
within the club. And it's a huge commitment. I mean,
On the low end of this fee, there is the coaching fee, which anywhere from $1,700 to $3,000, depending on the club. Then you have to throw in all the league fees, the tournament fees, rental facility rental fees for practices being, so you can still have practices when the rainouts, and it adds up quick.
Right.
Then jerseys, like kit fees for a player, like what's the bare minimum and what's the recommended? They give you the bare minimum cost, and then come to find out it's almost a third to two thirds more than that cost, because if you're like my family, we do laundry once or twice a week, and that's it. And to have enough practice clothes for my son to go to practice all week, we have to buy doubles of everything. Then, and if you're playing in a team that plays a lot of tournaments, you need two to three kits for games. Right. And parents don't think about that until it's too late.
Right. And again, I don't think, you know, as somebody who has, you know, been a club administrator in the past and is just familiar with kind of the intricacies of running an organization, I know it's not for a lack of trying. It's just hard. And again, you know, in this community, especially, you know, as coaches and even a lot of the directors, like, we want to be on the field. You know, we want to help your player. We want to help your player become as good of a soccer player as they can. And, you know, thinking about your marketing plan is not necessarily like what most of us want to be doing. And so that's why I just happen to like doing that stuff, and I love soccer. And so this is, again, this is where we think we can really provide value to these organizations and ultimately, again, to the players and their families.
So that I understand, like, you guys want to be on the field, you guys want to be coaching, you guys want to be doing your own, what you guys love doing. I would say majority of coaches love doing is coaching. And this is where I look at it as the smaller clubs and the big clubs and the medium-sized clubs. The larger clubs normally have this whole back office set up to help with the marketing. And that's where you're paying for all those extra fees, where the smaller clubs normally have volunteers and all that fun stuff. Yes. I mean, you can get semantics of... of all that.
Right.
And it's fascinating how it all works out. And I know, how do I phrase this? I know that you guys are trying to bring clubs, I'm guessing, correct me if I'm wrong, trying to bring clubs to share this information year-round with families, what the cost can look like, or are you guys just trying to be just the facilitator of teams and player locations?
So we have some kind of base criteria, or sorry, base information that's available right now. Cost is not one of them. So we share, and again, I want to differentiate too. We share at a team, at an individual team level, location, competitive level, league, and then give, you know, the profile owner, whether it's a coach or a manager or another verified representative, the opportunity to kind of, you know, expose their own brand. There's a free text section where they can provide a description and overview of their team. You can upload pictures. You can list, you know, any accomplishments. We have not included cost in those initial components because I know, you know, just frankly, from a club and team perspective, cost is sometimes variable. And so that's not, we're sensitive to that. And so we don't ask teams or clubs to share that. Now, that's not to say that we wouldn't in the future if there is enough demand for that information. But at this point, we don't share that.
It's a hard data to get, but even as a parent. I mean, exactly. As you guys are going through, so I've played on your website, so I can go on and create a player profile for my son. So how is that information shared, or is that only shared for coaches to go through, or how does that information shared with the soccer community possibly to help these players grow?
Yeah. So from a player, and then when I talk about players, we're, you know, at the younger age groups, we're talking about parents as well, right? They're the ones searching on behalf of their player. But from a player perspective, you know, we want to balance convenience and efficiency with privacy, right? We don't intend to share, you know, player information with, you know, parties that aren't our direct customer, and have, you know, agreed on certain terms of use. So once a profile is created by a player or by a parent, we have essentially a matching automation that takes the information that you've provided. It identifies one of the profiles that exists within the team player network of teams, and provides essentially a two-sided email. One goes to the verified representative of the team profile that, hey, a player has created a profile and we believe is a good match for your team. And then a second email goes to the player or parent that indicates this is a recommended team based on the criteria that you have indicated in your profile.
Gotcha. So, no, does the same thing happen for a player where they get emails on new teams that come through, or is it just they have a profile now and...
Not currently. And again, it's to avoid, essentially an unnecessarily high amount of email traffic, because what we don't want to do is just be essentially a spam replacement for all of the 15,000 different Facebook comments you get when you list your player on a Facebook group, right? Gotcha. We want to try and provide targeted information based on the data that you provide about your profile and those preferences. So right now, that's not a functionality. It is, I will tell you, is something that we've thought about, because as you know, we've started to see more and more teams come on board. It might be nice, you know, if let's say we only had one 2013 Boys Classic League team on last month, but now maybe we have five, and now maybe there's a better match for a player who previously created a profile. But again, there, I think there's a balance between ease and efficiency and just spamming people's inboxes, and that's something we're really sensitive to.
Nope, I totally agree. I hate getting 15 emails from the same thing in the same day.
Yeah.
And I will blame the MLS for that.
yeah.
Nothing against them. I mean, I'm proud to be a supporter of the MLS.
But exactly.
If I get five emails for their products in one day, there's something going wrong.
Yeah.
Now, will you guys send out like a monthly update letter then to families that are part of it for teams that are out there, since you guys don't want to spam their boxes, but do you guys send up follow-up information as throughout the month? I know that you guys do other parts. We'll get to that here shortly, but
yeah. Yeah. So again, you know, we want to make sure the communications and the touch points that we provide to our customers, both teams and players, are valuable. So we're piloting a couple different types of touch points. So that's in the works. I don't know if I was, very specific about the fact that we are a very, very young company. We launched officially to the market. We ran a pilot September last year and launched officially in October of last year. So, we have grand plans for the future, but we are admittedly, we're still, working through a number of different features and functionalities and really trying to make sure that we're answering this question the best way that we can.
Gotcha. I totally get what you're saying. I mean, I know you guys, like you said, you started in September, so you only have a few months ahead of me.
Yeah.
With everything. Lost my train of thought. Now, are you guys going to move to, I know this is jumping really far ahead, eventually moving to be more of an app driven versus website driven, or?
You know what? Undecided. As I think kind of as the head of the product, right? And right. Head of the company, I don't know how I feel. I like, for me personally, the web-based approach, because you're not asking people to put another app on their phone. I think there are some usability benefits to having a native application, but the tools that we use for our front end web-based development are mobile friendly. And we haven't at this point had any complaints as far as our usability is concerned. So as long as it stays, as long as that remains the case, I think we'll likely stay, you know, web-based.
No, I don't say, I mean, I just ask because everyone has an app, everything has its purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just ask just because it creates another layer of reachability based on people.
Yeah.
So with that going ahead, I've noticed that I do know you guys interview clubs and coaches.
Yeah.
So what is the goal with that?
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for asking. So, you know, when we started off, you know, our kind of to boil down our mission is to help the people within the North Texas soccer community and, you know, hopefully in the future, the broader soccer community connect with each other. And we do that by providing information. So, you know, obviously our core service is providing team information, but, you know, I've been around a long time and I know there's people like yourself, you know, people within clubs, and in other supporting services that are doing really, really cool stuff to make it, the community better, to improve the community. And so, you know, in addition to just providing that kind of basic information about teams, we want to share those stories as well, because we think that that information also is beneficial for the people who are consuming our service.
Some of the people you've interviewed have had some really great insights and philosophies and within the industry of North Texas soccer, which has been kind of, for me as an individual and as a parent, kind of eye-opening and kind of has changed my perspective on how things are done here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how we need to have these changes, but the only way it changes, it's changes with the parents. So as we move, as a parent, as we move into this next glorious part of the season, starting April,
whatever the date is,
15th and May 15th here, I believe it's April 15th and May 15th. Are you guys ramping up services or trying to find teams to make it more efficient for families to use you guys then?
Yeah. So I'll tell you, you know, even in just the few short months that we've been operating, I don't have the number offhand, but have helped make over upwards of 500 team and player connections. We've got close to 130 teams on the platform, and that's growing literally every week. So we're seeing, and I make it a point to ensure that we're touching base with, you know, our user base, and the feedback that we've had has largely been positive. And the suggestions and areas for improvement that we've heard, a lot of value added to both sides of the equation. As we get into tryout season, I mean, you pointed it out exactly. You know, we are making the platform actually available for teams and clubs to use for free for 60 days to help honestly kind of put our money where our mouth is and show you as a soccer organization that the way that we're proposing this should be done is better than the current state. So we're you know, running that promotion for the players and the parents. The intention is for the platform to always be free. So they, you know, for them, it's really just helping to ensure that the community knows that we're here, right? So we're investing heavily in an awareness campaign as well.
That's awesome. So you answered my next question I had. So players are free. The clubs pay, the teams pay, not the clubs. The teams pay to have their, and for other teams that might be listening or coaches might be listening, is this a yearly fee, a monthly fee for them then?
Yeah. So from the team perspective, there are monthly and annual subscriptions available. As we kind of step back, we want to make sure that this just, you know, this just doesn't make sense for the large organizations, right? The people who have the resources. So our pricing model is structured such that it should be accessible by even individual coaches. However, we do offer club plans for club directors or club owners that see value and can price that way as well if you have, say, you know, 10, 15, 20 plus teams that you want to put onto the platform.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the more I, for my podcast, I'll use my podcast as an example, the more I've done it, the more people I've talked to, the smaller and smaller my little world's getting.
Yeah, right, right.
I feel like everyone who I've talked to knows someone that I've interviewed or knows of them or has played against them.
Yeah.
Or grew up playing against them. I mean, it's amazing how small this community really is here. And it sounds like you're on the same path that I want. I want this to be a close niche community where
I agree.
To use one of the, I hope Wilco doesn't mind, but soccer needs to be a community sport and not just a Metroplex sport.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I know that the Metroplex is a community, but you're talking the size, to put it in perspective, is it Connecticut is the same size as the DFW Metroplex, remembering, right? And people don't realize when you put that in perspective how big that is.
Right.
And when you have all these clubs and all these teams really need to be closer niche and be close in together so we can learn and grow and build. And to steal what Wilco said, so we can create a DFW superstar team to go compete against whatever U19, U20 team that comes out of the on the national stage, and that we should have a large enough community where it's not always about who's going to get paid for these kids to compete at the highest level. Yeah. It's about the growth of the community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've had the opportunity to get to know Wilco a little bit as well at Dutch FC, you know, recently. But I couldn't agree more. I think it's great that we, you know, provide a forum for the players to compete on the field. But for us as the supporting organizations, to me, and to your point, exactly, we should take a community approach, and that our success is based on the success of the broader community versus one club or another. Now, again, I know people will debate that and whatever, but that's my perspective.
And then I've learned a lot having a lot of conversations, and now we're getting off tangent from what team player is, but I think it kind of brings it all full circle, because the easier the accessibility information is for families to find a team, to find a coach and coaching style that fits their player, the easier it'll be to grow and to create a more soccer developed community here, which is, I feel like we are the hotbed of the area. And that being said, allows us to grow here. But at the same time, we have to remember it's about the players.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're providing the option for that. And that's what I'm looking at. Like, the whole big thing is what you're doing is you're providing the avenue for the players to hopefully find the best place to develop. Right. And along the way, providing little pockets of insights from clubs and coaches. And with your interviews, are you guys going to continue doing more of the club level and coaches level? Or are you guys going to break it down more of the admin sides or player level or what might come your way?
Yeah. So I'll use this, use your platform to kind of preview something that we're working on, in addition to our spotlight series, which is primarily focused on highlighting, you know, organizations that serve the community. You know, I mentioned, you know, kind of in my intro that, you know, I played objectively a decently high level throughout my youth career, and I was fortunate enough to play at the NCAA level. But, you know, I haven't made my living, you know, I never made a dollar playing soccer. You know, my return on investment for all the thousands of dollars, I should say my parents' return on investment for all the thousands of dollars that they invested into the process were the skill sets and things that I learned and the bonds and network that I built, throughout those years. And so what I'd like to do and what we'll be rolling out here over the next couple months is a series called The Path, where we'll interview, players who have gone through the North Texas club soccer system. And, you know, some of them will have played, you know, at the highest levels, others will have not and found success in other ways, because I really want to share with parents now, especially those that are just starting the journey, that it's great to aspire to play at the highest levels. I think every player should, right? If they're going to consider themselves a serious soccer player, But at the end of the day, there's a very, very small percentage of those people who are going to realize that dream. But it's not all for nothing, right? There are legitimate, you know, personal values, personal skill sets that your players will acquire just by going through this process, and they will be better for it in their lives, regardless of what they end up doing.
Right. I feel like that's the thing that people forget. Yeah. I don't remember who I was talking to. I know exactly now. I remember after I said that. Daniel Dobson. I talked to him, and soccer is the avenue to build the next thing. So not always to be on the pitch, but sometimes off the pitch. It's going to that college. It's going opening doors so you can do the next stage in your life, whatever it may be. If it's soccer related, if it's going to college, if it's going to be a pro, or just coaching. I mean, there's so many different avenues that soccer brings a place for players to be, and having doing this, the pathway that you guys were talking about is going to be very fascinating to hear.
Yeah.
I mean, I can give you recommendations, but most of them aren't from the DFT.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's the challenge. And ultimately, you know, depending on what kind of, you know, interviewee list we can get, we may expand outside. But I think it's important because, like we keep talking about, this is somewhat of a unique community, given its size and given its soccer focus, that it really, I think it would be really valuable to talk about people who specifically, you know, went through this process, because, you know, a lot of us played for coaches that are still coaching. A lot of us are coaches ourselves now, you know. I think, you know, the closer we can stay, the more it'll drive the point home, and hopefully, you know, ensure that there is greater alignment between the expectations of the players and parents and the coaches and organizations.
I think that's important. I think having people to come on and talk about the collegiate world is so important, because so many people are set on that D1.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are so many different avenues. When I was talking to several people now, learning about the D1 process and the transfer window and the portal now, how that has completely changed the world of how players go to college, because the transfer portal just changed how a coach can recruit now. I mean, look what it's done for football and basketball. I can only imagine what it has done to the soccer world, because it's so much smaller.
Right.
And the Rockets are a third of the size football team. I mean, or half the size. I mean, you're going from 80 players down to, what, 22, 24 players?
Yeah. So that's, you know, we're looking forward to getting that out there. As you know, as a podcast host, you know, it takes time to get those things turned around. But, you know, more and more, you know, our goal is to continue to add value to this community. And you know, and for anybody listening, you know, we love feedback. We're not too proud to change. We're here for everybody involved. So please feel free to reach out to me.
Sounds awesome. And so I'm not taking up too much more of your time, since time's as I've always tell everyone, it's one thing you never get back.
Oh, let's keep it going, man. Come on.
I can go all day on this. I mean, my friend might tell me what's lunch, but that's the thing. It's like soccer is one of those things that I feel like in our community, as we sit at the soccer fields, like I sit and talk, and I think my wife gets a little crazy with me, because I do my podcast, but I'm always researching. Like,
yeah,
we're going on vacation this summer, and she's doing all the research on vacation, and I'll admit, we're going to Disney, and my high priority is, okay, we're going there to have fun. I'm more of a wing it type person, and my wife wants things planned out. But for soccer, this is something that never stops. I never stop reading. Like, my Facebook feed is all soccer.
Yeah.
And it's like, I was trying to avoid the soccer highlights this weekend, and it's like, I was scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. I never once saw the scores of the games this weekend because of the Dallas Cup.
Yeah,
so much going on about Dallas Cup than the English Premier League this weekend with all the players hitting the ref and all those fun things going on in the world of world soccer outside of the Metroplex, and it's amazing how much soccer is out there. And I feel like there's, going back to what we're both trying to do here, is fill our niche market that we have here.
Yeah.
And provide a positive resource. And I don't know, nothing against the clubs. Like you said, they're there to provide a service of soccer training, not always providing the plethora of information.
Right.
So I'm going to ask my two questions and I'll wrap it up, but I do have questions. I can call you so we aren't recording anymore. And I'll be editing a lot of this out here. I edit myself talking most of
it. Oh, yeah, for sure.
My first question, are you guys planning on releasing anything for the upcoming tryout seasons for information for parents to have? Or are you guys going to continue on the path that you're on just because you've only been around for... Six months.
Yeah. So specifically for tryout season, we actually did just roll out a feature that is a tryout calendar. So now, you know, again, for mutual benefit for the teams and clubs and for the players as well, anybody with a team profile can now log into their team player account and create a tryout or open practice event. So the intention there for the players and families is to aggregate a calendar of tryout events. Again, talking about stressful, I mean, I highly encourage, you know, most all players to spend some time exploring during the open tryout windows. And so it's just kind of hard, like you said, to figure out who's training when and then, you know, build out your weekly schedule of you know, where you're going to be playing each night of the week. And so we have done a soft launch of that a couple weeks ago, but we'll be kind of running some additional promotion and awareness towards that feature as we get closer to the open tryout window.
Nice. I mean, that's the hard part.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
That's the hard part of it all.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, I think, though, you know, is... Like we say, if you're adding value and you're really making an effort to invest in the people of the community, that ultimately, you know, the awareness will come, and that's where we're really focused. And then I was just going to say that, you know, in addition to the tryout calendar, we feel, you know, that this time of year, especially the team player platform as a whole is highly valuable. Obviously, we have our network of teams that you can browse through and connect directly with. And again, for any new entrants into the community, if you don't know where to start, you can create your player profile and receive a recommendation based on your preferences. And then we have all of, you know, our educational content, which is geared more towards players and parents, just really mostly personal insights on, you know, what I think to be important topics. We rolled out some just kind of guidance tips for dealing with tryout stress. I can vividly remember how stressful and nerve wracking, you know, showing up to a new tryout can be. You know, tips for establishing, you know, what you want your soccer development goals to be for the next year, all good stuff that, you know, players and parents can go check out. And hopefully, you know, at least, for whatever my insights are worth, maybe receive some value.
Awesome. So where can they find this information?
Yeah. So our platform is www.teamplayer.us. And I'll spell team player. We couldn't get the full domain name. I joke, but it's teamplayr.us. So there's no final E there. And then you can follow us on social media, either Facebook or Instagram, at Team Player, spelled the same way, at Team Player TX. So, you know, we do our best to be consistent in posting content. And obviously, we're open to any feedback or recommendations for stuff that we can put out there. We love talking to everybody. So feel free to reach out. And I'll last point. My email inbox is always open. You can reach me at Allen, it's A-L-L-E-N, at teamplayer.us. So would really love to hear from anybody and chat with you. So Ian, anything else?
My final question. So who has been your greatest influence as a player, and who's been your greatest influence as a coach? Because the team player is just a byproduct of coaching, I feel. So those are the two questions I always ask people, who's always the greatest influence on them. And then if you're a player and a coach, you have two.
Yeah. Okay. So my greatest influence as a player. That's a tough one. So I'm going to, I hope this isn't the easy answer, but as a player, you know, greatest influence has been my mom. She is a person who is very process oriented, and would kind of help me understand that output required input. And you know, was also always willing to tell it to me straight. My dad on the one side, he was my hype man, but as a player, you know, when I wasn't doing things right, my mom was always willing to tell it to me straight. And ultimately that's how, you know, that's how you improve. On the coaching side. So I'll flip it. So my dad coached me playing basketball for years and years and years. And, you know, I told you he's my hype man. But you know, he was also, you know, seeing the energy and effort and the pride that he took, not just, you know, when I saw success, but when any of my other friends or other teammates saw success, has set a great example for how you truly motivate kids. And I try and come with that same energy and same level of support and respect that he did when he was coaching me.
Nice. I mean, that's important.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. As I wrapped it up with Alan this week, we had a lot of fun chatting. There was a lot of me editing out me this week. But that being said, what Alan's trying to do is absolutely amazing. Him and his team and their goals and what they want to do is great. And I really hope you all take time to look at what they're trying to do and take a look at Team Player. .us, that's teamplayr.us. And what they're offering is pretty cool. And if you take time just to play with it and just create a profile for your player or players, and if you're a coach or a manager or a club, maybe take some time and look into what they offer and see if it's something that you guys can truly utilize. I feel like this is something that's missing as a parent. I think it's phenomenal. I know there's several free ones in the area, but I'm hoping with the paid side of this, it will be working wonderfully and doing everything that it needs to be doing. And when you get time, read the articles that they have written and the interviews they have done, because at the end of the day, it's truly remarkable what they're trying to do. Him and I kind of see eye to eye on the DFW Metroplex area, and what we both are trying to do is very in sync with each other. So you'll probably be hearing more from Alan in the near future. But for now, until next time, we'll see you at the pitch.